You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Today is Wednesday, April 30th, 2008, and welcome to episode 17 of the Wells Tech Podcast. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your hosts for a weekly conversation about technology and ministry. Hello, everybody. We're so glad you're listening. We pray that in some way, whether it be a small way or a big way, we can share something that will help you in your ministry. To that end, Sally and I are excited to announce the addition of a semi-regular guest slash host to our show, Gail Potratz. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
So happy to have you. Gail is going to be joining us on the last episode of each month to help us focus on educational or classroom technology. I guess Sally was tired of flying that flag alone.
Yeah, it's nice to have Gail with us. Gail serves at Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin. And Gail, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your responsibilities there at Emmanuel.
Well, my responsibilities at Emmanuel vary from year to year. This year is the first year in quite some time that I'm actually a full-time technology coordinator. My position here is to help facilitate the technology at the school, but also more on the church side has been added to my plate this year as we're entering into more multimedia things that are going on in the church.
We are just really excited to have Gail with us. One thing that Sally and I have noted over the course of episodes 1 through 16 and our growing listener base is that there does seem to be a lot of interest in what I guess you and I would call, Sally, educational or classroom technology. We know we've got a lot of teachers who are listening out there, and technology in the classroom is becoming a given, the ability to use the appropriate technologies to train those children is really a must. And Gail's going to bring that kind of dimension to us. And Sally, you do that as well. So I'm excited about having Gail joining us the last show of each month. And one thing that we'd like to focus on this week, and we started a little bit of the conversation last week, is internet evangelism. Now, last week we heard part one of the interview from Gonzalo Degadillo about what he's doing on the internet to share his faith and some virtual worship services that he's doing and just some wonderful things. And we're going to hear part two of that interview today. But the focus of our show, at least this first few minutes of this show, is about internet evangelism in the classroom. We know that there are all kinds of ways that kids can share their faith, and many of our kids today are spending a lot of their time on the internet. So let's talk a little bit about that. Gail and Sally, what are you seeing as possibilities within the classroom about sharing your faith?
Well, I think that it's important to note how our students really have a good sense for how important evangelism is. They understand what the Great Commission is, and they're a part of it. I just walked into a classroom the other day and every once in a while I talk with the kids, and the question I asked was if they could have a voice or an audience on the internet today to talk to anybody out there about whatever they wanted to, what would be the important thing they would have to share with people? And I made them think and even do a little writing about that before I had them respond, and almost to a person, they mentioned the importance of sharing their faith and what an opportunity it would be to have that kind of audience to share their faith with. So they do not need to be taught that it is important. They realize that at the point they're at, and it's up to us to provide them for ways to do that.
I would think that class of learners that we typically call, you know, our youth today are digital learners, very different than, you know, what the three of us grew up with. So I would think that the internet and communicating on the internet is just an extension of them. It's not something foreign to them where they have to think, oh, I can share my faith here too. It's just if they're going to share their faith, they potentially think of the internet as a way to do that.
Right. They're already sharing other aspects of their life on the internet. And
yeah,
their
almost
faith
everything, right?
Right.
Maybe
right.
Too
and
much.
Their faith, sometimes. But their faith is an important, integral part of who they are. So they don't separate those things.
That's great.
I think we kind of, Sally and the rest of the educators out there, we are kind of still the transitioners in this digital age. From 10 years ago when the first Apple LC3 was plunked down into my classroom, and it was the first non-green screen computer I'd seen, when I started playing with that, from that time, even up till now, we're still in this transition age of trying to integrate technology into education. And I think it is transitional. It's tough because teachers at various ages and stages of life have had to jump in. But I really think that if we do our job right, in 50 years from now maybe, technology will be able to be just a seamless part of education used in project-based learning without a thought, really. Right now, we still have to do a lot of planning and thinking to use these tools, but that's because we're still in that transitional age, I really believe.
So, Gail, I understand that you have a neat activity for your kids to participate in there at Emmanuel in New London. The kids are getting that voice out on the internet, sharing their faith with others. Can you tell us a little bit about the project you have going currently?
Sure. One of the things I've really been interested in and sold on the value of in the last year or so is podcasting. And I have used podcasting in a group of seventh grade students to help them create a devotional podcast that we put out on the internet monthly. Here at school, we have like a monthly theme, and at the end of each month, one of our worship leaders will give it all-school devotion on that theme. So that theme is known amongst us, you know, during the month. And during that month, I have one student put a devotion that they've written and put into podcast form onto our school homepage so that teachers don't do anything with it. It's just out there on the page. So individually, students throughout the month, as they get a chance, can listen to the podcast made by one of the students on that theme. And then it's reinforced at the end of the month with our all-school devotion. And it was amazing to me to work with these seventh graders in producing these. Their comment was, we didn't know anything about this, but we're pretty good at it.
they must get a kick out of that, huh?
They do. They love it. And I will tell you, they latched onto it so quickly and are able to get the idea of introductory music and then the fading out of the music and whatnot. The technical part of it came much more naturally to them than I expected. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people would say, you know, would hesitate doing those kind of things because they think the technology, teachers are always afraid that it takes away from all the other education that you need to be doing. But podcasting fits into 21st century skills that we're promoting in schools so beautifully because of the solid writing skills that are needed for the script. Kids pay more attention to voice, vocabulary, fluency, all of those things we try to get them to do in their writing. Right. But when they're doing this orally, it just they get excited about it and they pay much more attention to it. It's real empowering for them.
There's got to be a neat forensics benefit there. I know that one of the great life skills that come out of a lot of our Lutheran elementary schools is an emphasis on public speaking, because that's, you know, one of the largest fears of most Americans. You see polls time and time again that, you know, next to death, you know, that's one of the top things that people are afraid to do is stand up and speak. And as we think about what we need to do as Christians and the ability, you know, not just to share your faith individually, but also corporately, and as we look for future pastors and teachers, that forensic ability, that ability to get up and speak in front of a crowd is really important. And what better avenue to kind of practice that in is to put something out there on the internet. That's got to be a side benefit.
Right. The audience. That's another thing. When we write or speak, we always talk about knowing your audience, having an audience, you know, having a authentic learning where you're really doing something with a real audience is highly motivational for kids. There's a much clearer purpose behind the assignment, so to speak.
And kids want to be heard.
Yes.
One aspect I wanted to mention regarding putting kids on the internet is the issue of safety. In our school, one of the things we talked about is that they didn't need to reveal any personal information on the internet that would, you know, identify exactly who they were. I'm guessing in your devotions, you probably don't have the kids say their names or anything like that. But one of the things that my kids really enjoyed when we did these kind of projects in our computer setting was to choose a fake name. And they got just the biggest kick out of having a different name, a pseudonym or whatever to go by, that when they introduced themselves and different things, they could have this fake name in place. And we kind of stole that idea from another podcast that we were listening to. And I thought that was really neat. The kids understand, you know, the safety aspects of it, and then put that to use and have a little bit of fun with it by having their fake name that they use.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you don't,
Your screen name.
Yes, mm-hmm. If you're out there on the internet, you definitely have to be aware of those things. I often think, you know, that's the value of if you can have an intranet at your school, which I don't have at this time, you could do a lot more things where your audience is a lot more secure and selected, too. You wouldn't have to be quite as careful. But if you're out there on the real internet, you certainly do have to not put any personal information out there. We do use first names mm-hmm. when we sign our material.
Mm-hmm. Make it personal, sure. What kind of technology are you using, Gail, for your podcast there?
We use GarageBand to do our recording.
Which is on the Mac, right?
Right. So on the Mac side, we would use GarageBand. Why we like that is, first of all, that's what we have here. Mm-hmm. So we're a Mac school, so that's what we have to work with. And the beauty of it is, when you get finished with the podcast, in order to get it onto the internet, it's just to put it on an Apple iWeb site. You just basically go up to the menu and click a button and tell it where you want it to go. And it does so much for you mm-hmm. that it makes it much easier to do the technical parts of that for the kids. And then if you want that to show up on your normal home page, of course, you just create a link to that Apple page. Nobody even knows it's out there on an Apple page, and you can show it that way too. Mm-hmm. If you were on the PC side, the most common piece of software you would download is Audacity.
And that's available on the Mac too.
It is. You can get that for Mac as well.
Free.
Haven't used it. I'm going to use it to learn how to use it soon. But I haven't given it a try yet. So, either one of them will work well. I use very little for recording. Some of our computers, we just use the internal microphones on the computers, and those are good enough. Some we use just a little Logitech, and some of those companies make just little $15 or $30 external mics that work very well. The kids like that the best because it makes them feel cool, you know, when they have mm-hmm. the mic there. So they all want to use that computer. But truthfully, the sound is pretty much the same if you have one of the decent multimedia computers. Right. So very little equipment or software is necessary. Audacity is free on the internet. So mm-hmm. if you need to download a program to do that, Sorge Force is where you can get that. And that doesn't cost you anything. So you can do podcasting without much of an investment at all, which is always great.
Right,
I just happened upon a really excellent website, and I want to share the link to it in the show notes today. It's called Web Tools for You to Use, and it's actually a wiki site that's edited by school librarian media specialists all over the country, and they have an awesome page on audio podcasting resources. They explain what a podcast is, how a whole list of ideas for using podcasts in a school setting, and then information about finding podcasts and creating podcasts. Great tutorial information there and everything. It's a real treasure chest. So I'll make sure and include that link in the show notes today.
And another place you would want to make sure that you go if you're interested in learning how to do podcasting, you don't have to be an Apple person to go here, because it's good information no matter what platform you work on. But there is a site that Sally will include for you in the show notes as well, to an Apple.com education site, which is just excellent. If you go there, there are three videos for you to watch. And one is an explanation of how you can go about making a podcast. One is an example of a school where they have done a lot of phenomenal things with not only podcasting but multimedia. They felt that their biggest complaint that parents gave them every year was they didn't communicate enough, no matter what they did. They worked on it every year, and that was always the same complaint, the number one, when they did their survey. And for the first time, after they did really got into podcasting and used podcasts for communicating with parents throughout the school year, it was the first year that didn't come up as number one.
Yeah.
So they were sold on that for that reason. But that principal of the school who talks on that second video is excellent and shows you some very good philosophic reasons behind what they do, which I think can apply to our schools as well, and takes you through some student examples. You want to make sure you watch that one. It's excellent. That's, of all the resources I've seen to look at this kind of stuff, that's the one I like the best. So you need to watch those three videos if you're interested further in podcasting.
Okay, before we move on to our interview, I just wanted to add a little bit different dimension to this conversation, and that's for people who perhaps aren't in strict elementary school classroom settings. There is a place for podcasting outside of that in other educational environments. And it's so simple to record the human voice. There are all kinds of inexpensive tools to do that. Just little iRiver MP3 players that you can put in your pocket and attach a microphone to your lapel or whatever, so that when you're actually doing some teaching, whether it be a Bible class or a confirmation class, just to record that for perpetuity, to have that available for, let's say, people who missed the class or people who would maybe want to listen to that online, or they're, you know, they don't have the ability to be at a particular Bible class or devotion. Just recording those and making those available is so easy. You know, just recording that MP3 and uploading that file. You don't even need to do a lot of post-editing. If people are interested in listening to it, at least they have it at their disposal. So lots of ways that you can do a, you know, quote-unquote podcast that could be useful and listened to by people maybe more than you would think. So think about that. It doesn't have to be a big production. Doesn't have to be a written thing. It just can be, you know, recording what you normally do in your regular ministry. Just a great tool that is becoming, as Gail mentioned, very easy to do at this point. So up next is our interview, part two, with Gonzalo Delgadillo, who works for Multilanguage Publications and is doing some wonderful things in the area of internet evangelism. So let's pause now and listen to our part two of the interview with Gonzalo Delgadillo. Can you see this growing to any great degree? That, and I think we have to kind of in our own minds think about church a little bit differently in some respects, where, you know, we are separated. You're separated from the people, you know, that you're ministering to by continents and time zones. And do you see this growing into something more than, you know, just a handful of people getting together?
Yeah, definitely, because what I'm seeing is that depending on the economic level of the congregations, there is a basic or a break point to sustain a congregation. I think in a high-level income congregation, maybe 100 could be enough to sustain a pastor. But in a medium income, maybe it will require 150 members, and in a low income, maybe 200 members. And this week, I witnessed a church closing with 50 people. And what are they going to do? How are we going to minister to them? So the only possibility is that we use these systems that are, let's say, free and that can connect many, many people. So what I see in the future is a great internet seminary, Bible Institute, pastors, counselors, attending thousands of people around the world. And I want also to emphasize, and it's very, very important, that this work we do and I foresee doing in the internet will never, never replace what we have. Never. I never think saying, well, we will do this to avoid this pastor, this seminary. No, 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 no. What we want to do is to support, to get new contacts, to get new members to the churches. So this is very, very important to be understood, because I think people fear that if this grows, maybe we will need the same amount of pastors or teaching institutions, and that is not the case. To my mind, never comes that thought. What I think is
not a replacement for, but an addition to, an enhancement of what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never, never, never. And something that, for example, that I've done is that it is the possibility to go live on Skype and open a chat room. And sometimes what I do is I open a chat room for 15 minutes, and people from different parts of the world come, and I had the opportunity to talk to some, and that's why we get contacts in Margarita Island and Argentina and Bolivia and different parts of the world, because people come. And maybe could be the only opportunity in all their lives to hear the gospel. So I dream having 10 of us doing that once a year, or 100 of us doing that once a year, or 1,000, or maybe 50,000. Imagine,
why not?
Imagine, right? 50 or 100,000 Lutherans opening a chat room at the same time on Skype. Mm-hmm. How many contacts we will get, and the impact that will be done on the internet. So, yes, I think that because what would you estimate that it would have cost us to send a missionary to Europe to minister to this family in Spain, to this family in France, to this person in Germany?
It just couldn't happen, could it?
We don't have the resources. And so in other parts of the world, we haven't been able to send anybody to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, for example. So this is a way, and some people, a lady told me, I'm moving to Sinaloa in Mexico. I have the money. I want to start a mission. But she is by herself. Maybe we can start connecting with her. And when they, if they become a group, then we can help them to start a congregation or a church. So I think that we have to move very fast, because maybe the Lord will return today, and our time is so short, and we need to reach millions of people, and it's impossible to do it just by visiting them person by person. We need to use the media. We need to use all these systems we have, and yes, I foresee that this will grow more than we can imagine. And I was reading this week a magazine which shows half, more than half of the population of the world uses cell phones, and maybe more than one fourth of the population is using internet. So we have in our hands a very powerful tool, and it doesn't require much time. It just requires what most people have today, a computer, internet service. And what I do is I just bring my Coke or my coffee, and I sit with my feet on the desk and just wait for people to come like a fisherman. And then people appear, and then we start talking. Sometimes what I write in the chat room is, where will you go the day you die, or what do you think about the Bible, or things like that that motivate people to come into the room and chat. And I remember having up to more than maybe 30 people at the same time. So what a great opportunity we have. So yes, and fortunately we have you, because I think that you will be the people, and you are already the people who can guide us in this, in our synod, to get together and see how we can grow more and more and more and more. And everybody could become a missionary, a world missionary, just from his home, from his school, from even from a cafe internet. It's possible to be a missionary in the world.
Well, Gonzalo, that's really exciting to hear you talk about it and hear your passion for that ministry. I'm just curious about the contrast between sharing your faith over the internet versus sharing your faith face-to-face. Do you see a lot of differences there?
Yes, there are some differences, but not so important. Of course, when you're face-to-face, you are having the body language, you can see the face of the person and see the effect of what you're talking with the person. But finally, it's a matter of hearing. Faith is by hearing more than by seeing people. So I have a very nice history, and that shows how these face-to-face or internet-to-internet sometimes don't make a difference. Since I was in charge of our church in Colombia, a friend of mine who lived in Sweden, he was an electrical engineer working with ASEA, and he was going to get married in Colombia. So he called me and said, well, would you like to conduct my wedding service? And I say, I can't, because you belong to another synod, to another, we are not in fellowship, so I can conduct your wedding service. So finally he got married and he returned to Sweden. But he was so worried about what I told him that we started talking by internet. And it's incredible. We spend sometimes more than 4 hours talking about the doctrinal differences between our synod and the other synods. And after some weeks, I think, he discovered the differences, and then he started looking for our group that is in fellowship with Wells in Sweden. And he finally became a member of that group. And with the years also, he moved to work in Colombia. And now he is a member of our Lutheran church in Bogota, Colombia. And we just did that by internet. So I think that Bible verse that says that faith is by hearing shows us that the most important thing is people to listen, to hear the words, and the Holy Spirit will work. Of course, there are some also additions or benefits of face-to-face, like having posters or PowerPoint presentations or some warmth that is developed because of the closeness to people. But in general, I think that there is no difference. Of course, some people have many questions about this, but I'm sure that with the growing of these mass communication systems, that we will see many blessings and a great growth in our synod using these systems.
Gonzalo, it's inspiring to hear your uses and some of the success stories of what you've been able to do. If people want to support you or join you or follow you, how can they find you on Facebook?
Just look for Gonzalo Delgadillo. It's a little a strange name, but or they may call here at Multilanguage Publications. Our telephone is 915-857-5852. And at any time, we are committed to this service 24/7, so everybody could feel free. And there are some, I just recall another history, something that happened yesterday. A lady called me and said, well, my son is working in China, and he met a lady from Germany who will move to Spain. Do you have anything for her? What can we do? I immediately provided my Skype address, and I received a response yesterday, and we will have a new person in Spain. So it's a matter of being connected, and it's important. Imagine 400,000 Lutherans connected through internet, doing 400,000 contacts per day. we will reach more people than the growth, rate growth of population in the world. So God help us and guide us. And really, I don't want to boast on you, but God keep blessing this tech group in our synod. Thank for you. Thank for that tool that God had provided us through you.
And thanks for all you do, Gonzalo. And for those listening, if you want to find Gonzalo on Facebook, that's GonzaloDelgadillo on Facebook. And I'm sure Gonzalo, as you can tell from his enthusiasm, would love to speak with you and to work with you to spread the gospel to all corners of the world. Thanks so much, Gonzalo, for joining us. I really enjoyed and was inspired by your enthusiasm and your work in the gospel. And may the Lord and the Holy Spirit continue to be with you and bless your work.
Thank you very, very, very much. And God keep blessing all us and going to our heavenly house.
Gail and Sally, wonderful to listen to Gonzalo again. He is really passionate about what he's doing, and it's wonderful to see some of the ways that God is blessing his work in the area of internet evangelism. Just the whole concept of virtual worship services was not something you could even think about, you know, a few years ago, but now he's combining that with audio and video and doing all kinds of wonderful things to share God's word.
Having Gonzalo mention his upcoming graduation from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary May 23rd reminded me that we will be streaming that service live. Right. So if you guys want to tune in and see Gonzalo receive his diploma, make sure you check out streams.wells.net at that time of year. We'll also be covering the MLC graduation as well as call services at both MLC and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Exciting time of year for those graduates.
Yep, that's one of our most popular web streams of the year. We're also adding this year the commencement concerts at both of those locations, both at New Ulm and Mequon. Just some wonderful musical talents, and we'll be able to hear that and see that through that web streaming. So that's May 17th. Check the streams calendar. Go to streams.wells.net. Click on the live tab at the top, and you'll see the whole calendar for upcoming events. Make sure that you tune in to those. Up next, our picks of the week. And ladies first now. We've got three of us. Gail, I assume you picked something for this week. You want to share what you've got?
I did. I picked something that I'm really excited about. I have just loaded it on my upstairs computer at home and intend to really play around with it a lot in the next month or so. It's called Fifth Element. It's from a company called S-Suite, S-S-U-I-T-E. So there will be a link to it in the show notes to go to their site if you want to download this. what Fifth Element is it's kind of a continuation in your show before. You've spoken of Google Docs, and you've spoken of Open Office. This is another one of those types of products that you can download at no cost and offers you a lot of potential for Office Suite material. The beautiful thing about it is definitely not bloatware. It is, once you download it and install it, it only takes 48 megabytes of your computer space.
That's nothing nowadays.
I know, which I love, because as you know, those things get filled up in a hurry, especially if you do a lot of multimedia on your computer. Mm-hmm. So that's attractive to me about it. It offers all the basic personal productivity software, word processing and publishing, spreadsheet, there's a database, general utilities. There's a real neat feature that I saw that you can make an envelope on here just with one click. You don't have to set up another whole, go into another part of the program. Just in word processing, you go to this section and you can make your envelope right away. There's just some real neat things that I saw in here. There's a little recording section, a little graphic program, just basically the same things that you would be offered in the bigger, Microsoft full-blown software that we get that is quite costly.
Right.
So I'm investigating this from the aspect of it is free and out there, and it appears to offer many, many of the same features.
So kind of a lightweight Office Suite, as it were. What platforms does it run on? Is it Windows only, Mac only, what?
It is only Windows. It can run on any Windows system.
Okay.
But that only.
Okay. Great.
It's fully compatible with, you can save your documents in for Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm. That's so it's big
compatible.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yes.
And all of them really have to do that to be viable.
Right.
They have to be able to do that document exchange because everybody's on different things. Yeah.
Right. It also claims to be compatible with Microsoft Works and Open Office and even Star Office. So no matter who's working on what platform, you should be able to share documents easily.
Great. Thanks, Gail. Fifth Element to try that out. Sally, what have you got this week?
Well, mine is an education blog that I stumbled upon, and I feel like I hit the jackpot. It's called InfoTech with Mr. Losick, and it's actually done by a teacher in Michigan, in Hamilton, Michigan. Not quite sure where that is, but he's invested quite a bit in his blog to share educational online resources. And I just think it's the best. Right away, I found links to especially K-2 educational sites that I think will be real useful with the students in our computer lab. For instance, today he posted a link to a site called thisisdanielcook.com, which apparently is a television program in Canada, and they have just an excellent website geared for those younger children to explore and do all kinds of things on the web. There's also a link there that I investigated called Dance Mat Typing, which is a great typing tutorial done by the BBC in England. And those are just a couple of a million links that are on this webpage. And so if you're a teacher looking for online resources, check out InfoTech with Mr. Losick. The web address is mrlosick.blogspot.com. And I would encourage you to subscribe to his RSS feed and keep tabs on what Mr. Losick is finding, because there's lots there for you.
That's Losick, right?
Correct.
Very nice. Thanks. Well, I'm going to stay with the educational theme for my pick. This is a resource that I've been using for a couple years now. It's lynda.com. That's Lynda with a Y. And it basically is a video site that caters to educational videos for technology. But it really does a little bit more than that. There are about 28,000 videos in all on this site. It's a subscription-based site. Prices vary, but the basic price is $250 a year. So you get a login to this site and access to every single video on the site. So it's an all-you-can-eat model. If you can pay a little bit more and get downloadable exercise files, although I haven't really used those. Or you can pay by month, $25 a month, so if there's something you're interested in. But basically, there's almost every title that you can imagine that would apply to software programs, and even some things that deal with things outside of just a basic software program, like, you know, how you do typography or digital photography or digital video. But being in the technology field, and I know many people that listen to this podcast are looking for resources that will help them with technology, this is a great place to go. You can find videos on the Windows operating system, the Mac operating system, Microsoft Office, all versions of it. How to do CSS, which is a web technology that helps present pages in a pleasing way. There's HTML tutorials. And each of these is an entire class. It's taught by really smart people who know these things, and it's all screencast. The video's great. And they really walk you through it. Every one of these that I've done, I've really learned a lot and have felt that, but there's probably not a better way, short of sitting through hours and hours of classroom time. These really get you up to speed. There's also CD-ROMs that are available with an educational discount of 20%. And you can, there's a bunch of free movies up there that you can try before you buy. If you want to just test out the service before you actually invest in it. There are all kinds of programs. There's an educator's discount so that you can kind of set up a program if there are students that you want to go through these courses. There's all kinds of uses that I can think of, maybe training for the church and school secretary to get up to speed on Microsoft Word or Excel or PowerPoint, or learn a little bit more about typography or photography. Certainly a wonderful resource for webmasters. If you're interested in, you know, getting to know how to do websites a little bit better, there's all kinds of video titles that are available for that. And just private tutoring for yourself if you're just interested in these areas. Extremely well done. I think it's probably the best online resource for training videos, and that's a growing segment of the online educational segment that, you know, these online videos are just so well done and at a pretty reasonable cost. So lynda.com, just a great tool that I've found and use quite a bit. So take a look at that if you're interested in learning about any of those titles and getting to know them a little better and use them a little bit more effectively.
You know, Martin, if someone has their first name as their URL, that means they've been around for a really long time. Yep. I heard that story about Lynda. That's a real person's name, yep. And she got it a long, long time ago. So she's got some history behind that.
If you go to the site, her profile, kind of a silhouette profile, is her logo, and that's really what she looks like. You know, kind of a geeky-looking lady with black, you know, with the old-style black glasses. I've heard her interviewed, and I've seen videos of her interviewed as well. Just she's got a good thing going and really popular titles there. She's got some of the best experts doing these screencasts as well. So it's really worth the money there. You will not be disappointed with any of the titles there. Up next, our Wells.net feature of the week. Sally, what would you like to highlight for us this week on Wells.net?
Well, today I wanted to share with you the Streams radio channel. You can find it at streams.wells.net/radio, or if you just go to streams.wells.net, you can click on the radio tab along the top bar of that website. And it's a great place to go and just listen to internet radio. Now, a little bit different delivery than our podcast channel or video channel where you can select what you want to listen to or view. Radio is just what radio is normally. It's whatever comes up in the playlist is what you listen to. But you do have your choice between a variety of playlists, choral music, contemporary, instrumentals, traditional. And once you've selected a particular radio channel, then you listen to whatever comes up in the queue. There is a list there of the different artists and the songs that will be part of the queue, but you can't jump around to a particular one. It's just a stream of music that plays continuously and allows you to listen to all these wonderful Wells artists that participate in the radio and just some beautiful music out there. At times we'll add special channels for seasonal music, like at Christmas time you could listen to all Christmas music, or during Lent and Easter, you could listen to songs related to that time of year as well. So just a great resource, something to have playing in the background for some uplifting Christian music.
I've heard a lot of church and school secretaries tell me that they plug this in, light it up in the morning, and just let it play during the day. Just really appropriate for office-type listening. All kinds of channels, choral, contemporary, instrumentals, traditional, or then we have a mix channel that kind of that blends them all together. So if your tastes are more eclectic, you can listen to that channel as well. So streams.wells.net/radio. We're adding artists all along the way as people get wind that this is happening. Some of our Wells artists are agreeing to put their music on the radio. And it's good for them because they also sell their CDs through MPH or wherever, so it's good publicity as well. So everybody wins. Great music by Wells artists. Open to ELS as well, certainly, if you'd like to contact us. So streams.wells.net/radio. Want to remind everybody about our contest, our Wells Tech podcast contest. This is the last week to enter the contest. And just as a reminder, we are looking for your top three favorite free software tools. So if you have three favorites that you'd like to share with the class, please go to our website, wellstech.wells.net, click on the contest link. Entry deadline is Monday, May 5th. Our May 7th show will be Sally and I working through that list, kind of highlighting some things that we think are of general interest and picking a winner. And the winner gets, Sally?
Oh, drum roll, a 1-gig USB thumb drive. And this is not just your ordinary 1-gig USB thumb drive.
No, no, no.
It actually says Wells Technology on it, so real keepsake.
That's right. Yeah, you may not even want to use it for fear of, you know, rubbing off the logo on the side. So please submit your entry at wellstech.wells.net. One entry per person. We do want to hear from you, and I think everybody else will be interested in what you have to say about your top three free favorite software tools. Well, that is a wrap for our show this week. First of all, thank you, Gail, for joining us. We enjoyed your perspective.
I just was so excited to be able to join you today, and I think that obviously, I've listened to all, how many now, 16 podcasts?
This will be the 17th, yeah.
17. And I think it's a wonderful resource for the people out there in working in ministry. So great. I was very happy to be able to be a part of it.
Happy to have you. And thank you, as always, Sally. We will see you next week. We'll close the show, as we always do, with a featured Wells artist that you can also hear on Streams Radio, Dawn Gallagher, this week. She is a pianist, and we will listen to her song Beautiful Savior with Canon D from her album Inspirations. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.